beloved, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'm very much glad and excited about what we're sharing about. The subject of faith is something that's very close to my heart. I also know that that's something that's close to the heart of God. Do you know that our God is a faith God? Amen. Yes, our God is a faith God. So we never tired of talking about faith. We never get tired of talking about faith. And sometimes people keep on saying, Pastor, you've got the same message all the time. It's because it's working. Amen?
Amen.
It's a simple thing like saying, if you ever ask me if I've ever walked with anything except my legs, I'll tell you, no, I always walk with my legs because it works. So if something works, there's no reason why you shouldn't use it. And how many of you know that faith works?
Amen.
Any of you are witnesses that faith works?
Amen.
Amen. Faith works. So we are continuing with the subject of fight, the good fight of faith. And I want us to start at the book of Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6 in the NIV. So that you can see why it's important for the just to always live by faith and always walk by faith. And if you look in your own life, there are many things that maybe are not where you want them to be. So God has given you faith to change that. Amen? So the good thing is that God is always ahead of our situations. So when something comes as a challenge to you, God has already passed that stage. So in other words, God is already ahead. Tell your neighbor, God is already ahead. So it means when I'm faced with a challenge, God already has a solution. When your challenge comes, the solution is already there. Okay, let me simplify it. Do you know the Bible says, talking about Jesus, it says Jesus is the Lamb of God that was slain before the foundations of the earth. You know that? Jesus is the Lamb of God that was slain before the foundation of the earth. According to God, the Lamb of God was slain before even your sin came into being. So in other words, when the problem that Adam and Eve brought, it did not take God by surprise. God already had a solution. So in other words, God didn't say after Adam and Eve sinned, sure, we didn't expect them to do that. What next now? No, the Lamb of God was already slain before the foundations of the earth. That's what my Bible tells me. So when Jesus came to die on the cross, it was just the fulfillment of something that was already done. Hebrews 11:6 NIV.
And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him.
Okay. It says it is impossible to please God without. Okay. Do you know that that verse doesn't say it's impossible to please God without money? It's impossible to please God without this, without that, without that. Because you only need faith to sort out every other thing. Okay? So if you are like God, it doesn't matter what challenge there is. If you've got faith, you can change that. So he says it's impossible to please God without faith. And when you come to him, you must believe that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek you. So the second part of why it's difficult, it's impossible to please God without faith. If you don't have faith, you don't trust in God's ability on anything that you are not having faith on. Let me repeat that. I say if you do not have faith, you are not trusting in God's ability in anything that you are facing. So, just to simplify it for you, if you are afraid of something, You are trusting in that thing's ability to harm you. That's why you are afraid of it. So if I'm trusting in God and I have faith in God, I'm believing in God's ability to deliver me. I'm believing in God's ability to do it for me. So if it says it's impossible to please God without faith, how would you feel if your children don't trust you? Huh? You know that when your children need something, they should come to you as a parent, isn't it? Those of you who are parents. Now, if your child doesn't come to you, your child goes to neighbors and asks from the neighbors, the child doesn't ask you. Or if the child asks you, and then later go to the neighbors and say, just in case my parents don't do it, I just want to have plan B. How would you feel when you hear that? Do you know that God hears even when we do plan Bs? Huh? Yeah, God, unlike your parents, whom you can go to the neighbor and sneak, and then they don't know what you said to the neighbors. God knows. So even when we are not trusting him, he knows. That's why it says it's impossible to please him without faith. So when we come to him, we must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who earnestly seek him. So as you earnestly seek him, as you diligently seek him, know that he will reward you. Now I want us to look at Enoch in the book of Genesis chapter 5. Because that verse, that 11 verse 6, actually verse 5, says Enoch pleased God by faith. So maybe before we go to Genesis 5:24, can you just go backward on that Hebrews 11, 6. Start it from verse where it starts talking about Enoch.
By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him.
Amen. Do you know that the word of God originally did not have verses? It's like when I'm speaking, I don't speak in verses. Isn't it? When I speak, I just speak. So, in essence, we didn't have to say verse 5 or verse 4. So just repeat, starting from by faith, Enoch. And then I want us to listen to that carefully. Because Enoch, actually, when I was meditating about this, I even thought, the Bible says Enoch walked so much with God that God ended up taking with him and he was not found. Then, okay, this was just a funny idea that came to my mind. I was thinking, is it possible? Then, was he married? Did he have a family? Then I went back and read in Genesis, it says Enoch was the father of Methuselah. Then it means I can still walk intimately with God even if I've got a family. Because sometimes we think, eesh, it seems that standard. So Enoch walked with God, and it says he pleased God by faith. So God was so much happy with Enoch. I don't know, but I think one day they were just walking together. The Bible says Enoch was no more. Enoch did not die. Enoch was taken away, left. He left like Elijah. Just go. Yes. So if you can be so much intimate with God that God enjoys your company, ask your neighbor, do you think God enjoys your company? Yeah, the one time, many, many years ago. Yeah, it's probably close to 30 years ago. I think that was the last time I was in a taxi, public taxi. Then I was in this place, we were in this taxi, I think it was moving from that time it was not yet called Gauteng, that it's like, yeah, from Johannesburg to Venda. And when I was in that taxi, what people were talking, I was just uncomfortable. This is not how we talk. Have you ever been in a place where people are talking and you just feel like, ish, ish? So now, how do you think the Holy Spirit in you feels with how you talk and how you behave? Do you think he enjoys it? Or do you think he's grieved? So go to that Genesis 5:24 Amplified Classic. You can do it, Amplified Classic, Genesis 5:24. You can decide among yourselves who read it.
And Enoch walked in habitual fellowship with God, and he was not, for God took him home with him.
Okay. See, it says, Enoch walked in habitual fellowship with God, and he was not. Why? For God took him home with him. So God did not want to miss Enoch's company. Why? Because Enoch had faith. In Hebrews, it tells us, for Enoch walked with God, and he pleased God by faith. I want to walk by faith so much that God is pleased with my life. So anything that you are facing, it's an opportunity to see God at work. Okay, so let me simplify it for you in terms of faith. Do you know that faith, okay, supernatural laws supersede the natural laws. Supernatural laws supersede the natural laws. There are natural laws that sometimes supersedes others. I tell you about the law of lift, which supersedes the law of gravity. So when the aeroplane takes off, it's using another law, which is more superior than the law of gravity. Then it can go up. Even your faith can do that. But when I say supernatural laws supersedes natural laws, go to the book of Matthew chapter 14. Verse 25 to 31, New King James Version. Because I want to show you how you can live in this natural world, but you live by faith, you walk in the Spirit. And then you are able to change things from the spiritual realm. And then that will influence what happens in the natural. So when we say supernatural laws supersedes the natural laws, most of the things that you see, most of the things that you experience, they are natural. So if you want to be a victorious person, you need to be able to walk in the Spirit and be able to command things in the spiritual realm, and then they will be manifested. Most of the things that we see, they start from the unseen. Even when God created, the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and nothing that was ever made without the Word. And the things that we see were not made of things that were seen. So Matthew 14, 25 to 31, New King James Version.
Now, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea.
Okay, I want to ask you a question. Can you walk on the sea? Eh? The natural law says if you go on the sea and you try and walk, are you able to walk on the sea? What will happen? You sink. That's a natural law. But when you are operating in another law, you are able to subdue the natural law. Okay, continue.
And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost!" And they cried out for fear.
Okay. When we grew up, we were told that ghosts, because they don't have flesh, they are spirits. So it means a ghost can walk on the sea because it doesn't have weight. Okay? But when I look at this, it says they cried out and they said, "It's a ghost." Okay, continue.
But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid."
Okay, now, I want to teach you something so that you can understand these things of faith. So he says, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Don't be afraid." Okay, continue.
"And Peter answered him and said, 'Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water.'"
Yeah, I want you to look at that because you need to understand the things of faith. So Peter doesn't say to Jesus, "If it's you, I'm coming." Walking on the water. You can't walk on the water unless you have been given another mandate, a spiritual mandate. He says, "If it is you, give me a word, then I will walk on the water." If it is you, he doesn't say, "If it's you, I'm going to walk." So some of you, you say you are walking by faith, but you're not walking by the word. You did not hear any word. I want you to understand this. Because Peter did not say, "If it's you, I'm coming," walking on the water. He would have sunk. Because there would not have been a word to back up his action to suspend the natural law. So, now Jesus had to say something for Peter to walk on the water. So, also when you say you have faith, some of you say you have faith, but you have no word for it. Okay? That's why sometimes people will say with psychology, "Just be positive, my brother. Positive thinking." No way. That's not faith. That's psychology. Okay? Faith is based on what God has said. I'm trusting God because I know what he has said. So now it says, "If it's you, give me a word. Command me to come to you walking on the water." Verse 29.
"So he said, 'Come.'"
Okay. Did you hear that? What word do you have from God about what you are trusting God for? So he says to him, "Come." Okay.
"And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus."
How? Peter walking on the water? Can a person walk on the water? No, it's not possible. It's not realistic. It's not natural. It means you need something supernatural to help you subdue the natural law. So the moment Peter got a word, I don't think he did this. From the boat. I don't think so. The Bible says, the moment Jesus says, "Come." Amen. Amen. And then he walked on the water without thinking about it. Because he had a word. So most of the times when you fail in your faith is because you start reasoning it. Have you noticed that the moment you want to exercise your faith, something comes to you and say, "But how will this thing work?" So imagine you were Peter. Jesus gives you a word, "Come." You say, "But Jesus, there is no bridge here." As long as there is a word, there is a bridge. Tell your neighbor, as long as there is a word, there is a bridge. Amen. So in other words, God knows how it works. So if he says, "Come," he knows how I will get to him. So the Bible says, then Peter got out, started walking on the water toward Jesus. Continue.
"But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, 'Lord, save me.'"
Now, verse 30. This is very important. Again, it's faith. Do you see that when he started walking, he did not look, he walked. Now he starts looking at natural things. The Bible says, when he saw the wind, that it was boisterous, he began to sink. So what had changed? Do you think the water next to the boat was icy, like ice blocks, that he could walk? And when he was close to Jesus, it was liquid, then he sank? What changed? He changed the focus. Okay? So the first time, so that's what happened even in our own life. When you are walking by faith and you're not reasoning things, you just go and it works. But the moment you start calculating and looking around, you begin to sink. Tell your neighbor, don't look around, you will sink. And he says, Lord, save me. Continue.
And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, O you of little faith, why did you doubt?
Hey, did you see that? So, according to Jesus, the Bible doesn't say he was clapping the hands, but I think there would have been a way within him, not externally, like, you're doing it, Peter, you're doing it. Yes, go for it, go for it. You're doing it, Peter. I think he says that to me also when I walk by faith. Amen?
Amen.
Go for it. Go for it. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 12, we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Okay? And it starts listing by people about people who walk by faith. So it's like when you are in your full faith walk, you are like an athlete in a field and there are spectators clapping hands for you. So it says we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. That's Hebrews 12. So Hebrews 11 tells us about people who walk by faith. And now it looks at those people as people who are actually cheering us on. So I think Jesus was cheering Peter. The Bible doesn't say it. It's me thinking. And I'm allowed to think. So, as he was going to him, I think Jesus saying, go on, Peter. Go on, Peter. Now, all of a sudden, Peter loses focus. He looks at the thing and then begin to think, why did you doubt? Oh, you of little faith. So, do you know that Jesus was disappointed at Peter? Yes. It's impossible to please God without faith. So, it means, even as you are taking your steps of faith, as you are going, he's cheering you on. Go for it. Go for it. And some of you, do you know that some of you give up when you are about to get your breakthrough? Think of a breakthrough this way. Let's say there's a barrier that's blocking you from your success. And you're keeping on digging, keeping on digging, keeping on digging. And when you have dug a lot and now you are left with, by the way, because you don't see what's ahead of you, now you are left with this thickness and you quit. It was so near, yet so far. Amen? So tell your neighbor, don't quit. Your breakthrough is closer than you think. Your miracle is closer than you think. Just keep on keeping on. Because when you quit, you're doing like Peter. Now Jesus will say, oh, you of little faith. Why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? And then he saved him. So, this thing of looking at natural things, sometimes the things that usually take away our faith is because we are now looking at natural things. We are being realistic. When Peter left the boat, he was not walking by sight. He was walking by faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. If you walk by sight, if you walk by senses, you will be limited. Because senses are natural. So I want to introduce, I think I told you before, faith, take faith as the, how many senses do we usually have? Is it 5 or 6? 5. So take, for you as a Christian, you've got a 6th sense called faith. As you're going to the book of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, Amplified Classic, Mr. MJ. So, I'm going to give you this 6th sense. Okay. The other time I think I told you this, because we need to simplify it for you, the life of faith. How many of you can see my voice? But you think I'm speaking. But you can't see my voice. Why? Because your eyes are not meant to pick up voices. Okay? So what's making you get that I'm speaking? So you are using the sense of hearing to pick my voice. Which means if you were only going by sight, you would have said, it's so quiet here, the pastor is not speaking. If you were not able to hear, isn't it? But I'm speaking. You just need to have the right sense to pick the voice. Okay? So it does not mean it's not there. You just cannot perceive it because you are not using the right sense. Okay? So that's why, so if you look at your five senses, they complement each other. Okay? Usually you would find that things that you cannot see, you can touch or you can hear. Like the voice, you can hear. Okay? Things that you cannot hear, you can see. Things that you cannot, all those senses, they complement each other. Now, because those are physical senses, there are certain things that physical senses cannot pick. And those things are only picked by faith, the sixth sense. So read it for us in Hebrews 11, verse 1, Amplified Classic.
Now, faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of the things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as a real fact what is not revealed to the senses.
Repeat that last word, faith.
Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses.
Amen. So in other words, by faith, I am convinced of having something even if the senses do not see it. Okay. Simple. It's just that the Bible here used the term title deed. Some of you don't know a title deed. Because when you are still owing, whether it's a car or a house, the bank doesn't give you, they keep the title deed. Even if we say the house is yours. It's not. It's literally not yours. The title deed, the house belongs to the one who has a title deed. Tell your neighbor, the house belongs to the one who has a title deed. Yeah. They don't give it to you. They keep it. But when it's fully paid and it's yours, they give you the title deed. Okay? So when I have a title deed, I don't need to see the thing that I'm saying is mine. As long as I have a title deed, I know it's mine. Okay. I once did this. I once bought a property in another place where I was never there. I didn't see the thing. I just saw on the pictures and bought it. So when I have a title deed of that, even if I have not gone to the place and seen it, I know I have it. I even say, I expect tenants to pay. I want to see money being paid to my account of those tenants that are paying. And nobody can convince me I don't have it. Even if I didn't see it yet. Because I've got the proof that I have it. So when you have faith and you have seen something in the word, be fully persuaded. Be convinced like somebody who has a title deed. You're saying, I have it. Okay, simple. I said the problem with title deeds is that most of us don't have title deeds. But a simple thing. Okay. Let's talk about a simple thing with the bank account. Do you know that when you go to the ATM and you put your card there to withdraw money, let's say I've got 10,000 rand in the bank, okay? When I go to the ATM and I say I want 1,000 rand, does the machine give me 1,000 rand? Huh?
Yes.
Okay. So let's say I have 100 rand and I want to go and withdraw 1,000 rand. Does the machine give me 1,000 rand? But the guy before me just put his card and he got 1,000 rand. Is the money finished from the ATM? Why is the ATM not giving me my 1,000 rand? So usually the ATM won't bother you. It will just say insufficient funds. Contact your branch. Amen? But if, now when you go to contact your branch, if let's say you know that indeed I have deposited 10,000 rand and now the machine doesn't want to give me, it says contact your branch. You go there with the thing and say, I've got the proof. I have the money. The money, what happened? Oh, show us the proof of payment. Oh, okay, let's go and check. Why? Because they know you've got the evidence, you've got a proof. So similarly, when I have faith, I behave like somebody who's not like you. Because I already know I've got it. Okay? I can fight with the bank, I've got the proof. But when you don't have the evidence, when you don't have the proof, you will struggle. That's why I said, for you to exercise your faith, you need to have a word for it. So when I have a word for it, that word for me is like a proof. So if the word of God says, by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed, and my body says, no, you are sick. It's like the bank now. The bank says you don't have the money. What do? You go with your proof. So I'll go with my proof. Isaiah 53 verse 5. Surely he was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him. And with his stripes, I am healed. And my body says, no, you're not healed. You are coughing. I say, surely, I like it. I like how Isaiah puts it. Brother Isaiah, mommy. Brother Isaiah says, surely. So if Brother Isaiah was from Central Africa, he would have said, surely. He was wounded for your transgressions. He was bruised for your iniquities. The chastisement of your peace was upon him, and with his stripes you were healed. And you know that the word of God says, I'm healed, whether my body feels healed or not. Yeah. Now, the problem with senses or with your body today will tell you you are sick. Tomorrow it tells you you are healed. So why should you go for such things that keep on changing? Go for the word that always say, you were healed by the stripes of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. So in other words, I take the word because the word of God does not change. The Bible says, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Amen. So when I'm walking by faith, when I'm fighting the good fight of faith, that's 1 Timothy 6:12. We won't read it. It's our text scripture. Fight the good fight of faith. It means when I'm walking by faith, when I'm fighting this good fight of faith, I need to know what God has said so that I can walk by that word. And when I have that word and you tell me I don't have it, I would rather doubt you, but I can't doubt God. I can't doubt what God has said. God promised it to me. He told me I've got it. Do you know that sometimes we trust each other more than we trust God? Eh? Can I give you a simple one? Eh? Amen. So, Womakado, let's take a simple one. Let's say your wife says to you, I have left 1,000 rand for you there in whatever place at home. Do you sometimes, and then you were supposed to use that 1,000 rand, she's leaving. He says, oh, don't forget, honey, to leave that 1,000. Yes, I've put it there for you. If you were sleeping, do you usually wake up and go and check before she leaves? Huh? Just in case what he's telling me is not so. No. As long as he said it's there, I can continue to sleep. So why don't we do that with God? When God says it, we want to go and check. Huh? So if God says it's there, If God says by the stripes of Jesus I'm healed, I'm healed. Let me give you a simple one. You remember there was a time when Jesus wanted money for tax when he was with Peter? He says to Peter, the Bible says, he anticipated Peter wanted money for tax. He was coming to Jesus. The Bible says, Jesus anticipated him and he already said, Peter, we must pay tax. We must pay tax. So go to the sea and throw the hook. The first fish that you catch will have the money. It's there in your Bible. Yeah. Will have the money for tax. Go and pay for you and for me. Now, Peter was a professional fisherman before he followed Jesus. Do you think there was ever a day that Peter caught a fish with money in its mouth? So, the Bible doesn't say this one, but I think what was going through Peter's mind was, what did you say, Jesus? He said, go to the sea. The first fish that you catch will have the money. No, we don't catch fish with money. We catch fish and sell it and get money, Jesus. But if Jesus says the fish has the money, then the fish must have the money. So Peter suspended his natural thinking. So sometimes you must suspend your natural thinking. The problem with you is that you want to be realistic. No, Jesus, we've got to be realistic. We can rather catch the fish, sell it, and then get the money. But this thing of saying the fish will have the money, Peter didn't do that. Peter just went, throw. Like I say, sometimes, I don't know, maybe people were passing by. Peter, what's happening? No, I'm coming here to catch the fish that has my money for tax. I think the other one said to him, what if the fish that does not have the money is the one that takes the bait? Whose problem is that? The master told me the fish I catch will have the money. So if the fish that does not have the money comes and takes the bait, Jesus will make sure that in that fish there must be money. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. That's the thing with Jesus. Do you know that Jesus is the creator? God, my God is the creator of the heavens and the earth. So I don't have to be worried, what if the fish does not have the money? Some of you, usually there are things that God has promised you. Now you're thinking, what if? What about? What about? Actually, God gave us a simple thing. Our part is only to believe. We don't make things come to pass. We only believe it. He says, just believe. Fear not, only believe. You remember that man when Jesus was coming, going to the ruler of the synagogue, and then the woman with the issue of blood delayed Jesus. And then people from the ruler of the synagogue's house came and said, don't trouble the master anymore. Your daughter is dead. The Bible says, Jesus overhearing them said, do not be afraid. Only believe. In other words, your part is to believe. Tell your neighbor, your part is to believe. And for me, it's simple. Because my part is to believe, I don't have to play gimmicks. Yeah. Even when I have got to pray for you and you're sick, I don't have to do anything. I pray for you by faith and you get healed. Amen. How you get healed is not my issue. Yeah. The one who says, I will lay hands on you and you get healed, he will make sure that you get healed. Amen. 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 So even when you are trusting God for something, don't depend on your own strength. Just believe. Your part is to believe. And now, I said to you, as Christians, we are like amphibians. Yeah, the other time I was talking about amphibians. I said when we grew up, again, that was Bantu education, we're told an amphibian is able to live in land and in water. So do you know that for a frog, to live in land is natural and to live in water is natural? Hey, but frogs are blessed, man. Just imagine You can live in water just like you live in land. Do you know that a fish, no matter how big, it cannot live outside the water? Huh? Give fish 10 minutes out of the water, it will be dead. Give a person 10 minutes in water, the person will be dead. Why? Because you are not made to live there. But for an amphibian, it's natural. So now, as a Christian, you've got the ability to live in the physical world and also in the spiritual world. Amen. And that's an advantage, isn't it? So now, if you are able to live in the spiritual world, you already see things before the natural catches up. So it means I can have the assurance of something before my eyes sees it. Because I already have it in the spirit realm. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, the Passion Translation. I want to show you this because now, I'm trying to make this fit with the thing that we're talking about with the fighting the good fight of faith. Because beside using your faith to get things from God or to get things, you will also use your faith to contend with the evil one. To contend with the challenges that are coming against you. So, Mr. MJ, 1 Corinthians 10:13, the Passion Translation. Because I want you to see that even what you are going through now, don't find it strange. Some of you keep on complaining. I don't know, what have I done? Things are just falling apart. It's one after the other. When I grew up, there was a certain song. Another man, they were singing a certain song. What was it? I didn't even know the language was. When you catch this one, the other thing break. When you catch this, the other one break. So if you ever feel like that being a person, there is a problem. Because when those things are going like that, breaking and breaking, when you are facing those challenges, it's an opportunity for you to exercise your faith. So it means when manaka are breaking, it's another opportunity again for faith. When malika are breaking, it's another opportunity again for faith. When there is sickness coming, it's another opportunity to use your faith. Amen. When you don't have money, it's another opportunity to use your faith. Yes. When there is threats and you are afraid, it's an opportunity to use your faith. Amen. So listen to it in 1 Corinthians 10:13, the Passion.
We all experience times of testing.
Okay, repeat that.
We all experience times of testing.
Mm-hmm.
Which is normal for every human being.
Okay, tell your neighbor. So we all experience times of testing. It's normal. Don't find it strange. And you start saying, what have I done now? We all experience times of testing. It's normal. Mm-hmm.
But God will be faithful to you.
Mm.
He will screen and filter the severity, nature and timing of every test or trial you face so that it can bear it.
I like that. You remember we were talking about Job last week?
Yes.
Yes. And every time when the enemy wanted to put an attack on Job, he first had to go and talk to God. And God said, okay, it's fine. You can go this far, but you can't go that far. So the devil cannot just do what he wants to do. So even with testing and trials and all that, so the things that you are going through, God saw that you are able to handle it. Tell your neighbor, God knew that you will handle what you are going through. Yeah. And he trusts you. Tell your neighbor, and God trusts you that you will go through it. Because it says, he will screen and filter the severity, the nature, and the timing of every trial so that you can bear it. And then look at the next words.
And each test is an opportunity to trust him more.
Repeat that.
And each test, it is an opportunity to trust him more.
Hey. Mm. But when you are going through the test, it doesn't feel like that, isn't it? It feels each test is another opportunity to go down. Things are just getting worse. But the faith person sees each test as an opportunity to trust God more.
Amen.
Through it all, I have learned to trust in Jesus, and I have learned to trust in God. Through it all, through it all, I have learned to depend upon his word.
Amen.
Can you do that song a little bit? Because your pastor cannot lead. Just do it from where you are sitting. Trust in Jesus. I have learned to trust in God. Through it all. Through it all. I have learned to depend upon his word. Amen. Through it all. Tell your neighbor, you don't know what I've been going through. But through it all, I have learned to trust in Jesus. I have learned to depend upon the Lord. Yes. Through it all. Because some of you, what you've gone through, some have committed suicide already. But through it all, you're still here.
Amen.
Through it all,
Amen.
You're still here.
Amen.
And whatever the devil will try to do, you've gone through much.
Yeah.
You've already taken the biggest punches. What is ahead now is minor. Amen.
Amen.
Through it all.
Amen.
So, what I've picked up is that actually, with the things that we are trusting God for, the faith things, the things that need your faith. There was one time actually when I was thinking, I don't know if I shared this with you, ma'am. Yeah, but I've shared with some people. To say, do you know that most of the things that are challenging your faith or things that where you need to exercise your faith, it's not so dangerous that if it doesn't work, you will die. Yeah. I mean, it's like if you're trusting God for money and you don't have the money, you won't get the money. Do you die? But there were people who had to use faith that if faith does not work, you die. And they still stood. For you, you are not even standing for something that even if it didn't work, you would not have died. You're still afraid to use your faith. Let's go to the book of Exodus. Chapter 14, verse 10 to 14, New King James Version. Mr. Mkosi, you will do this one for us. Exodus 14, 10 to 14, New King James Version. So, it was the time when the children of Israel, because I want, you see, when we talk faith, we tell you faith in theory, but we also give you then practical examples. That's why sometimes I will use my own practical example. Sometimes you might have seen that when I give scriptures, I usually also refer a lot to stories in the Old Testament because they give practical examples. So that we don't tell you things here and you say, but Pastor, you've got to be realistic. We are on earth here. So I give you examples of what happened on earth. Then I nullify your argument. Amen?
Amen.
So, this was the time when the children of Israel had left Egypt. When they left Egypt, They were going to the promised land. And then Pharaoh realized, we shouldn't let them go. The Bible says God hardened the heart of Pharaoh so that Pharaoh would chase the children of Israel. So the Egyptians are chasing the Israelites. It says on the side there were mountains. Ahead of them, there was the Red Sea. Now, your enemies are behind you. Now read.
And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them.
Hey, the problem with sight, your eyes will make you scared for many things. That's like Peter's eyes when he saw the wind. Now the children of Israel looks and see the Egyptians marching after them. And they were scared. So just read it. So
they were very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord.
So why were they afraid? Because they saw. They were afraid because they saw. Continue.
Then they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Have you so dealt with us to bring us out of Egypt? Is this the word that we told in
the Is this not the word that
we were told in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said to the people.
Yeah, now I want you to look at people who don't walk by sight. The Egyptians are coming. Those who walk by sight are saying, we are going to die. Now somebody who walks by faith say, even if the Egyptians are coming, listen to Moses.
And Moses said to the people, do not be afraid.
Oh, do not be afraid. Mm-hmm. So the things that come against your faith, fear is one of the commonest thing. Many times, that's why even that one, the one in which I said about the rule of the synagogue, the first thing he said, don't be afraid, only believe. Don't be afraid. Many times you will hear Jesus say, don't be afraid. Because fear is something, it's like a reverse gear of faith. You want to go forward, fear comes and pulls you back. Okay? So he says, don't be afraid. Because they looked, they walked by sight and they were afraid. He says, don't be afraid. What must you do?
Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today.
Oh.
For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace.
Hey, say, I like people of faith, man. When the Israelites, the rest of them are saying, we are going to die. Would it not have been better for us to die in Egypt where there were graves? Why do you bring us here? Why this? Do you know that even in the days we're living in, there are people who are like those, always grumbling. When some of us are talking faith, you're keeping on making noises. We are going to die, Pastor. It's not working. Stand still and see the salvation of God. Don't be afraid. Stand still and see what God will do. He says, the Egyptians that you see today, you will shall see them again no more, forever. The Lord will fight for you. You shall hold your peace. Now, the good thing with the fight of faith is that you are told what to do, what is your responsibility, the rest God does. So the fight of faith, you believe, you use faith in this fight. The fight of faith does not need natural weapons. It's a spiritual warfare. So as I use my faith, God will make sure that things happen as I believe them. That's why it's called the fight of faith. Now, Moses says, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. The Lord will fight for you. Now, somebody would have said, but Moses, you must be realistic. The enemies are coming. What do you mean the Lord will fight for us? We are going to die here in the wilderness. Now look at how God fights for his people. Because now, for this one, if you don't believe, you get killed and you die real death. Isn't it? You die real death. It's like I always used to like saying, as you're going to that, go down to verse 19 to 31, Mr. MJ, New King James Version of the same one that Mr. Mkosi read, Exodus 14. I used to like this, to say this thing. I remember many, many years ago, I was still practicing as a doctor. It was somewhere in Chilizini. Yeah, that was in the 90s. Somebody came to the hospital. That person was stabbed with bottles. You know, like people, they would break a bottle and then stab each other. This person was stabbed by a friend. They were drinking. And then the friend was drunk. And then he stabbed the friend. And the friend was bleeding to death. And that friend died the real death. Then I thought, this is a real death. Even if it was somebody who was your friend who thought, you know, like they would say, I will coward you. Or something like that, as if they are playing. But that was a real death. Yeah. And the person really died and it was a real death. So the problem is that some of the things that you play with your friends and you get drunk and do that, unfortunately when you die the real death. You are not given another chance to die when you are not drunk. You die drunk and it's still a real death. So, when I'm looking at this, go down to, because then I want to see how the Lord will fight for them. Because he says, the Lord will fight for you. But in the natural, these people were in trouble. And they were going to die. If it didn't work, they would still die the real death. You know, it's sometimes when you are watching a movie, you know it's a movie, isn't it? Yeah. You might be worried, but it's not so serious because it's a movie. But when it's a real death, this is serious. It's a real life situation. So I'm bringing this story to help you just to say, for most things that you have to trust God for, it's not even about death. So you shouldn't be as afraid as if it's real death. These ones were facing real death, but Moses says, believe God. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. So read it from verse 19.
And the angel of God, who went before the camp of Israel, moved and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud went from before them and stood behind them.
I like this. Why I like sometimes even the stories in the Old Testament, they become real. So the Egyptians were behind them, chasing them. Now they were getting so close, about to catch them. So the Bible says, and the angel of God who went before them, what did he do?
Moved and went behind them.
Because the enemies were behind them. So he moved and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud went before them and stood, that went before them, stood behind them. Do you know that I'm well covered? Tell your neighbor, I'm well covered. Yes. So when the enemy comes at the back, the angel moves behind me.
Amen.
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 So the angel of God moved behind them.
So it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel.
Yes. There's a barrier between you and what the enemy wants to do. I once even heard this story where some people, they were saying, people wanted to bewitch, who were bewitching other people. When they wanted to bewitch this person who was a Christian, they just couldn't go through. They would just see fire or water or whatever, and they just can't pass that. That's the reality of how well protected you are. You remember last week when we were talking about Job, when Satan says, God, isn't it that you have formed a hedge around him? You cover him all the side. You've protected him all the way. That's why he's fearing you. So continue.
Thus it was a cloud and darkness to the one, and it gave light by night to the other, so that the one did not come near the other all that night. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. So the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea on the dry ground, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went after them into the midst of the sea, all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen.
Okay, now, I want you to look at this. Something that started in the spiritual. So he says the Egyptians that you see today, you will see them no more forever. He said that, Moses, isn't it? He speaks it in the spiritual first. Now, I don't know how God does it, but the Egyptians that they saw. Now, Moses points, and then the waters parted, and then the Israelites go, and the Egyptians that you see today, they also come. But they don't know how that miracle took place. So don't just jump into other people's miracles. You will die. Amen. So that miracle was not for the Egyptians. That miracle was for the Israelites. So when he pointed, then it parted, and then the Israelites went because it's their miracle. But the Egyptians also followed. Now listen.
Now it came to pass in the morning watch that the Lord looked down upon the army of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and cloud, and he troubled the army of the Egyptians. And he took off their chariot's wheels.
Who was taking off the chariot's wheels of the...
God,
the Lord will fight for you.
Mm.
So it means you just stand still. You just believe God, man.
Amen.
And sleep and rest in God.
Mm.
So as they trusted, as Moses told them, now the Lord looked and he saw the Egyptians' army and then started taking off the wheels of their
chariots.
Mm. Uh-huh.
And he took off their chariots' wheels so that they drove them with difficulty. And the Egyptians said...
Okay, so it seems like because their chariots were just going and very fast, all of a sudden, they look... The wheels are going off. But they knew that they had tied the nuts very tightly. But now the wheels are just coming off.
Mm.
And they were driving now with difficulty.
Mm.
Now they realize this is not natural.
Yeah.
There is something in the spiritual that's happening. So what did they say?
And the Egyptians said, "Hey, let us flee from the face of Israel. For the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians."
That's what Moses said. Didn't Moses say, the Lord will fight for you? He spoke it. And then now the Egyptians are seeing it in the natural, God fighting for them. Now God is fighting for his people, the Israelites. So even in your own life, speak it first like Moses. Declare it first like Moses. My God is on my side. My God will fight for me. My God is my healer. My God will provide for me. And then it will come to the natural. Because now, the Egyptians are saying, the Lord is fighting for them. Let us flee. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea that the waters may come back upon the Egyptians on their chariots and on their horsemen. So it's almost like this. The Bible doesn't say that, but that's what I think. The Egyptians you see today, you will see them no more forever. The Lord will fight for you. Those two statements. So now the Egyptians are allowed to get into that place where the miracle was. This is my thinking. The Bible doesn't say that. I think just when they are all in. Because otherwise, if others were still behind, and now Moses had to put the thing, and then the other Egyptians would have remained. So now we wait for you to all come in. The moment you are all in, Moses, lift your hand now. When he did that, the waters came back and swallowed every Egyptian enemy, together with their chariots, together with everything, and that was the end of it. Amen? And if you read going down, you will see how they said, the Lord fought for his people. And he is your God. Tell your neighbor, that's the same God who fights for you. That's the same God who will save you. So it means it doesn't matter what the enemy is plotting against you. Even those who hate you, it doesn't matter what they're plotting against you. Your God will fight for you. But you must speak it first, like Moses did. Like Peter said to Jesus, speak a word. Tell me to come to you walking on the water. So Moses says, the Egyptians you see today, you will see them no more forever. The Lord will fight for you. And it happened like that. So even in your own life, whatever you are trusting God for, speak it first. Speak it. Keep on speaking it until it comes to pass. You use your word to create things. The Bible says, 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, we have the same spirit of faith. We believe and therefore we speak. So you must believe and speak. You even need to talk about how much God protects you. How much God will give you long life. You hear some of us keeping on talking long life. I'm not trying to boast or anything. I'm speaking my faith. I'm creating my destiny with my words. Because the power of life and death is in the tongue. Amen. So that's why Isaiah 54:17. Mr. MJ, you can do it for us. Isaiah 54:17. You can do it in NIV.
No weapon forged against you will prevail, and you'll refute every tongue that accuses you. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and this is their vindication from me, declares the Lord.
Amen. Okay, now, that verse we know. But do you know that before he says no weapon that is fashioned against you, he started by telling us that people may be plotting against you. So start it from verse 14. Start it from verse 14, yes.
In righteousness, you'll be established. Tyranny will be far from you. You will have nothing to fear.
I want to believe this word. Yes, I want to take this as my promise. Continue.
Terror will be far removed. It will not come near you.
Mm-hmm.
If anyone does attack you, it will not be my doing. Whoever attacks you will surrender to you.
So it means when God has given you a promise, you need to speak this. You need to keep on saying, I'm covered by the blood of Jesus. I'm surrounded by the angels of the Lord. No weapon that is fashioned against me shall prosper. Any tongue that raises up against me in judgment, I condemn it. So speak those words. Speak those words. So that then verse 17, read it.
No weapon forged against you will prevail.
So it means you need to say, no weapon forged against me will prevail.
Mm.
So in other words, you are declaring your destiny. You are declaring things in the spiritual world. Amen. So that they can be manifested in the natural.
Amen. Mm.
No weapon forged against you will prevail, and you will refute every tongue that accuses you. It says, this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and this is their vindication from me. Tell your neighbor, your faith will be vindicated. Yes, I'll be vindicated in what I'm doing. As I'm believing God, as I'm keeping on speaking these things, they will happen as I'm speaking them. So I want us to land. I'll leave some of those verses because we need to land now. So let's go to the book of, I want to land with this one. Yeah, no, there's much more to go. But let's land with, because I want you to use your words. to get your breakthroughs. I want you to use your words in faith to get what you are trusting God for, even against your enemies. The Bible says in the book of Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, it says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. So you will realize that I'm keeping on telling you to use your words. So the problem is that as you're going to Ezekiel chapter 37, 1 to 10, New King James Version, Ezekiel 37, 1 to 10, New King James Version, as you're going there, the problem with some of you is that you don't want to speak yourself. You want others to speak for you. Now, the problem with other people speaking for you is this. Do you know that sometimes people will talk things about you that are not good? So, and they say you are such a kind of person, you are this, 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 this. It really doesn't matter much what they say about you. What matters is what you say about yourself. Because what you say about me doesn't affect me unless I speak it myself. I'm the master of my own destiny. So, therefore, there's also this thing, this tendency where people always like other people to prophesy them. Prophesy, men of God, prophesy. You must prophesy yourself. Speak your destiny. Let the man of God also prophesy in his own life. Now, if the man of God also prophesies over you, that's a bonus. But every time you've got an opportunity to prophesy in your own situation. So we give you the word so that you are able to use that word to write your own destiny. Now, I want you to look at this Ezekiel because we're going to land with one after this. Ezekiel 37, 1 to 10 in the New King James Version. I want you to look at the picture that God took Ezekiel over this hopeless situation. Maybe let me read it myself. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord. You see, now he brought me in the spirit. So things happening in the spirit, and then we'll talk to the natural. And set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. So Ezekiel says, the Lord took me in the spirit, and he showed me these bones that were very dry. And he said to me, son of man, can these bones live? What would you have said if you were Ezekiel? So God takes Ezekiel in the spirit. He shows him bones that were very dry. And these were bones that were people before. You know, when a person has died for a long time, all the flesh goes and then it's only bones remaining. Now the bones were very dry. And now God asks Ezekiel, can these bones live? What would you have said? What do you think Ezekiel said? So, Ezekiel doesn't say the bones can live or the bones won't live. I think in his mind he was thinking, can these bones really live? On the other hand, he thought God is God. So, what did he answer? Lord, you know. I mean, God is asking you, man, can these bones live? And I answered, oh Lord, you know. Okay. Since you bring it back to me, I'll also bring it back to you. Again, he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them. So he must prophesy to those bones. He must prophesy to them. So when last did you prophesy to your dry bones? You still waiting for others to prophesy over them? Prophesy to these bones and say to them, oh dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. You remember I said when you use faith, you have to have the word for it. So the word was spoken that prophesy over these bones. Now he goes to the bones and say, bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, God, to these bones. So what is God saying about your situation? What is God saying about your situation. So you need to tell your situation, hear the word of the Lord. Some of you need to speak to your bank accounts. They are misbehaving. Bank account, hear the word of the Lord. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory.
Amen.
My bank, hear the word of the Lord.
Amen.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
Amen.
You've got to start telling it. Because that bank is like dry bones.
Amen.
Very dry. So now, some of you don't speak to that dry bones. You keep on complaining. You see, we don't even get increase in our work. You know, these things are not... You know, the economy. You know, the rent is depreciating. That's not the word of the Lord. Dry bones are not afraid of those things you are saying. You need to say, hear the word of the Lord. And you tell it. So even when your body is sick sometimes, say, my body... Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord.
Amen.
By the stripes of the Lord Jesus, you are healed.
Amen.
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 Hear the word of the Lord. Now you are prophesying over your bones. Thus says the Lord. Surely I will cause breath to enter you and you shall live. I'll put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you. Cover you with skin and put breath on you and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. He says, verse 7. So I prophesied as I was commanded. So I'm also commanding you. Prophesy over your situation. Now you also need to say, I prophesied as I was commanded. Now you start speaking. He says, as I prophesied, there was a noise and suddenly a rattling and bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them. And the skin covered them. But there was no breath in them. Okay. This is what usually happens. Sometimes when you are trusting God for a miracle, you can see you're getting a miracle, but it's not perfected yet. Okay? Because they were dry bones. They were just bones. But now flesh came on them. And sinews came on them. But still there was no life. Now we need to perfect this miracle. So even with your dry bones, maybe it was going the right direction, but it's not fully there. Perfect your miracle. So he says, there was no breath in them. Verse 9. Also he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Because at first you prophesy to the dry bones. Now you need to call the breath. Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to breath. Thus says the Lord. Hey, I like this thing, man. I feel like calling my money. Amen. Thus says the Lord. I'm a tither.
Amen.
My God says he will open windows of heaven for me and pour me out blessings that I will not have room enough to receive.
Amen.
Thus says the Lord. So now he says, speak to the breath. He says, breath. Say to the breath, prophesy to the breath, say to them, thus says the Lord, come from the four winds of breath, and breath on this slain, that they may live. So, verse 9, verse 10. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and breath came into them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army.
Amen.
Amen. Are you also expecting your great army from your dry bones? Your great army from your dry bones.
Yes.
Prophesy over them. Yes, others can prophesy over you. I can prophesy over you as a man of God. But that's very little because it's one time after a long while. But each time you are with yourself, each time you are with your situations, prophesy over them. Say, thus saith the Lord, hear the word of the Lord. So that's why it means, when I started, I gave you the example of Peter. When Peter says, if it's you, give me a word that I may come to you on the water. So the reason why some of us spend a lot of time in the word is because we want to hear what God has said so that we can prophesy.
Amen.
So that we can speak that word. And when we speak it, we say, hear the word of the Lord and they will obey us. Because that's exactly what happened. You remember when Jesus said to the fig tree, no one eat fruit from you hereafter forever. And the disciples had it, and then it was dried. Then Jesus says, whoever shall, he says, have faith in God. That's Mark 11. Have faith in God. Whoever shall say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. So tell your neighbor, you will have whatever you say. So rather speak good about yourself. You will have what you say. Amen. So we land with Isaiah 45 verse 1. I will read it in the Amplified Classic. It says, my heart, and I want to give us time, about 5 to 10 minutes time. I want you to prophesy over your dry bones. I want you to speak to your situation. What does the word of God say? And you declare your miracle. Isaiah 45 verse 1 Amplified Classic. So worship team, you can be coming to the fore. You need to lead us in worship as we want to prophesy over our bones. My heart overflows with a godly theme. I address my psalm to a king. My tongue is like a pen of a ready writer. What is your tongue like? A pen of, other versions says, of a skillful writer. What have you been writing with your tongue? I want to give you an opportunity to speak a godly theme upon your life. He says, my heart overflow with a goodly theme. So this theme that is overflowing in my heart, I want to speak it with my tongue. Whatever you are trusting God for, you know you are trusting God for something. And some of your dry, your bones are very dry. There is no life. It's hopeless. But then you're going to speak and prophesy over your bones. You're going to speak and declare the faithfulness of God. Amen? Amen. And as you speak it in the natural, in the spiritual, I told you, you are an amphibian. So you've got the ability to live in the spiritual world and also in the natural. So as we declare things, that's why even when you pray, as you pray in the spirit, declaring things in the spiritual, they will happen in the natural. So now you're going to prophesy and speak things into being. You're going to create things with your pen, with your tongue. Amen. So which song are we going to do that help us to write a noble theme? Yes, that's what I was thinking about. Thank you. So we're going to say to the Lord, you are faithful, O Lord. You are faithful. God is faithful. So he has given us his word. We are just believing him, and we are going to speak into our own situations. And you need to say, some of you say, dry bones, leave. Okay? Especially if you are no longer happy with those situations. Say, it cannot continue like this. So that's why we are teaching you to fight the good fight of faith. Because those of you who did not know that God has already done his part, your part is to believe. And then you can activate your miracle into motion. Because some of you are always saying you are waiting upon God, but you're not speaking anything. You are not creating anything. You are not prophesying over your situations. God is faithful. Let's stand up, worship the Lord, and then have time and just speak to your dry bones. Declare things in the spiritual. Like Moses said, the Egyptians you see today, you will see them no more forever. And then he says, the Lord will fight for you. Hold your peace. Stand still. Position yourself for your miracle. Amen.